In and Out of the Kitchen by Damien Trench. The Panel Show. Monday, March the 21st. I have always been more than happy to martyr myself to ensure the contentment of others. Just as the Christian saints of old allowed themselves to be burnt at the stake, cut apart with swords, or beaten soundly about the head with rocks according to the whims of their particular persecutors, all in order to defend their religion, so I, in order to defend the financial integrity of mine and Anthony's forthcoming wedding, must submit to co-presenting a programme showcasing the lighter side of street cookery. Further discomfiture, as if it were needed, is provided by the identity of my co-presenter, the distressingly charismatic Ray Jarrow, a man for whom no pressing culinary issue is too big to trivialise. I would like to chew over this pudding of discontent with my agent Ian, but he has never been more conspicuous than by his current absence. Frequent and frankly frenzied pressings of the speed dial have elicited nothing more than repeated airings of an answer phone message whose jolliness serves only to salt the wound. One only hopes that Ian is safe, happy, and still firmly affixed to the wagon he so sensibly joined shortly after being found asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning outside the Theatre Royal Drury Lane with his pockets full of Maltesers.
Damo!
Ian, you're there.
I am. Apologies for the radio silence, but I know a big beast like you can look after himself.
A big beast?
What I'm saying, Damo, is that if I'm ignoring you for any great length of time, it only goes to prove that you're one of my most important clients.
How gratifying.
Anyway, you would not believe the week I've had.
I don't doubt it.
I've been in Beverly Hills, I've been in Goa, and spent most of yesterday on the southern edge of the Cotswolds sitting cross-legged in a yurt.
Really?
Well, I say a yurt. It was more like a sort of miniature spiegel tent, absolutely filled to bursting with traditional folk storytellers.
Ian, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that all this sounds harrowingly like the symptoms of a relapse.
No, it's all because we've signed Joe Cassidy.
Joe Cassidy? The Joe Cassidy? You're joking.
He's a genius, Damo. Recovering junkie, recovering sex addict, full-time philosopher, and the only man who really speaks to the kids about the way the world really is today.
Ah, I was thinking of a different Joe Cassidy. The one I know is a hotelier in Taunton.
I've been with Joe all week. It's opened my eyes. You know what he said to me today? He said to me, Ian, you've got to stop being political and start being mystical. I tell you, it's made me reconsider my support for the Lib Dems.
Ian, I wanted to talk to you about this TV show with Ray Jarrow.
It's fantastic news, Damo. Joe loves Ray Jarrow.
I see.
Says he's taking cookery away from the snobs and bringing it back to the people. Oh, you've got to meet Joe, Damo. You're very much kindred spirits.
But about the TV series?
Oh, there's something else you might like to consider. Sounds right up your boulevard. It's a topical panel show on BBC Two. All a lot of jokes about who said what in the week's news. It's called I Beg Your Pardon.
But I'm not a comedian.
They have all sorts on these shows now. Actors, reality TV stars, sometimes even women.
I'm not sure I...
Great opportunity to show another side of you. Prove you're not afraid to laugh at yourself.
Well, I suppose so.
Display that sparkling Damien Trench wit we all know and love. Just be confident, be yourself. Remember, on shows like this, there's no room for ditherers.
Well, no, I mean, I of course.
Oh, I've got to go, Damo. Joe's gesturing at me from the limo. He needs to be in Tewkesbury at 5 to address a flash mob. Speak soon.
I suppose the key thing is location.
Key thing really is profit margin and the return on the investment.
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, those things go without saying.
Right.
Which is why I didn't say them. But they were very much front of my mind.
Any light refreshments needed in the shared cam office?
Fresh office.
Perhaps some brioche or a pan of chocolat? Don't want you to starve while you're in here plotting away.
No, we're not plotting, Damon. It's not a plot, is it, Mr. Mullaney?
Well, we will be buying a plot.
Yeah, but no, but this is not a plot. There's no plotting involved. We're men of business. We're not unconvincing Cornish smugglers in a Sunday night BBC drama.
I rather think you're putting words into my mouth, Anthony.
Look, this is not a plot. We're buying a house to do it up and sell it. It's a business scheme.
Ah, so you're not plotting, you're scheming.
When can I expect this brioche?
All I ask is that you don't spend too much money.
I'm keeping a close eye on the budget, Mr. Trench, don't worry.
Damien, you have to speculate to accumulate. You have to be bold.
Cautiously bold.
Anthony, you have several attractive qualities, but sensible boldness has never been one of them.
You forget, Damien, not only did I work in the city, but whilst working in the city, I once ate 9 hamburgers in a row as part of a hedge fund initiation ceremony, 6 of them without condiments. I would call that pretty bold.
I just want you to make sure you get the best possible deal. I know what you're like, Anthony. You are a panicker.
But you are a ditherer, Damien.
The following day, I accompanied Anthony to a local auction house as he attempted to secure a suitable property for he and Mr. Mullaney to, in his words, do up. In Mr. Mullaney's words, fix up, and in my words, effect a change for the better to. Anthony would have preferred to have attended the auction house alone rather than, as he somewhat disparagingly put it, having Mary Ruddy Poppins sitting on my shoulder. But I, mindful of the oft-told tale about the small boy who set out, charged with entrepreneurial zeal, only to exchange his cow for a handful of enchanted legumes, resolved that no such thing were to be repeated on my doorstep, and that a guiding, non-dithering hand might help Anthony exhibit an appropriate but not excessive level of boldness. My attention was only moderately distracted by preparations for my impending appearance on the humorous panel show, I Beg Your Pardon. That morning saw an electronic preparation pack for the show landing in my inbox with a resounding beep. Perusal of its contents revealed an enormous list of planned questions of a length one would have thought more suited to compiling a census or assessing one's eligibility to drive a heavy goods vehicle, rather than for producing what I believe is still called light entertainment. Given that each question would presumably require a quip, bon mot, or moment of badinage, it was clear that a Herculean task lay ahead.
Right. Shouldn't be too long now.
Anthony, what would you say if I asked the question, who said this week, I found the whole thing very difficult to swallow?
Well, I don't know. Has someone said that this week?
Apparently.
Well, then you just have to say something funny.
I thought I might say Heston Blumenthal.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's always making those elaborate dishes that are presumably on occasion difficult to swallow.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I always think the sign of a really good joke is when you have to explain it and then that explanation tails off into an awkward silence.
Well, this is all thoroughly supportive.
If you want to prepare for your panel show, Damien, why don't you do it at home? Let me bid on my own.
I will do no such thing.
Fine.
How long is this going to take?
It's an auction, Damien. It has no fixed duration. Property comes up, people bid, people drop out, some people come in, eventually the winner emerges. You know, if you want to buy something, you go to a shop. But an auction, it's about establishing a real price based on competition in the room. It has its own rhythm. It ebbs. It flows.
You could just have admitted you don't know.
Well, I'll probably be here most of the day, binding my time, waiting, you know, for the right moment. Mr. Mullaney and I have identified 7 likely prospects. I'm expecting a real tussle, but fortune favours the bold.
You insist?
Can we start today with lot one? Would anyone like to start the bidding at £200,000?
Yep, over here. Yep, we're in.
Bidding is at £200,000. Do I add 220?
We're in. Are you panicking?
No, I'm being bold.
£200,000 going in once, going twice. Sold.
Oh, is that it?
And we move on to lot two. Would anyone like to start the bidding at 200,000? No. Do I hear 150? No.
Were you interested in lot two? I mean, it does already seem rather a lot cheaper.
Come along, ladies and gents. Twice the size of lot one.
Is this the ebb and flow you were talking about?
I've done exactly what I set out to do. I've got a property, haven't I?
50,000.
Yes, I suppose you have.
Thank you, sir. 50,000. The bidding for lot two is at 50,000.
Damo, how are you? How are things on dry land?
Fine. What do you mean by dry land?
I'm at sea, Damo. I'm leading a life on the ocean wave.
Good gracious.
Joe and I are spending the day on a sort of yacht.
A sort of yacht?
Well, a yacht. Joe knows more millionaires than you'd expect for a crusader against capitalism.
Extraordinary.
It's all part of the paradox wrapped in a riddle inside an enigma that makes him the new Bob Dylan. Oh, no, do I mean Dylan Thomas? Well, one of the Dylans, anyway.
Well, you seem to be very much part of the entourage.
To be honest, Damo, he won't leave me alone. I was hoping for a quiet afternoon with a cranberry juice and a Margaret Atwood. But before I know it, he's ushering me up the gangplank.
How testing.
Accompanied by 3 supermodels and a vast platter of Italian ham.
Ian, I wanted to talk to you about this panel show. They've sent me rather a lot of preparation. The whole thing seems rather more complicated than one had hoped.
Ah.
I mean, what would you say in response to the question, who said this week I found the whole thing very hard to swallow?
You've stumped me there, Damo.
Well, you grasp my predicament. You will be able to make it to the recording, won't you, Ian? I tend to feel I need my agent close at hand during times of potential humiliation.
Of course I will, Damien. I'll see you at the studio. Ciao. Any chance of getting some of this in a doggy bag?
Wednesday, March the 23rd.
Yes. He's turning out to be a very bold investment.
Well, the thing about this place is that it's got enormous scope.
What do you think, Mr. Mullaney?
Yeah, well, you should be asking what he thinks. He's my business partner. I should be asking what he thinks. What do you think, Mr. Mullaney?
I'm not sure. It's the main bedroom through here.
Yeah, that's right. I just want to know the floor's a bit...
What floor?
Well, exactly. We can pretty much do anything with it.
and might start by putting the floor in.
What's through here? Oh, my God!
It's all right. We need to take the door off anyway. Sir.
Were there many other people bidding for this?
Well, you know what these auctions are like, you know, people coming in, dropping out, phone bids.
Didn't you mention something about the ebb and flow, Anthony?
Yeah, thank you, Damien.
I'm rather afraid Anthony panicked.
No, I did not panic, Damien. I simply grasped the nettle. If it was up to you, you'd have just dithered all day.
You didn't need to buy the first property you came across.
We did not buy the first property we came across.
Look, I'm no surveyor, but I don't even know if the whole thing is structurally sound.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. There's plenty of scope.
Yeah, this is worth more as land than it is a house, you know? It's barely a house at all.
Which is what we're after,
isn't No, we're supposed to do up a house. Now I have to build a whole Jesus house.
Well, you were a builder. You must have built houses before.
Yes, I thought you'd have built a house before.
Yes. I'm going to go out and stand by my van for a few minutes before I say something bad-tempered.
Thursday, March the 24th.
Damo! Fight the power! We shall overcome! Do you hear the people sing, etc.?
Ian.
It's time to man the barricades and take the power back to the people.
I see. You seem to be in a somewhat polemical mood.
Sorry, Damo. Just getting caught up in the sheer bloody excitement of it all. Joe and I are on a sit-in at Sussex University.
A sit-in? What are you doing at a sit-in?
We're campaigning against fees, rents and grants. Well, actually, perhaps we're in favour of grants. I may have to read the pamphlet again.
Ian, I must say I'm surprised by this development. I have never thought of you as civilly disobedient.
Well, we're not actively participating. This isn't our fight.
I wouldn't have thought so.
But Joe's very keen on expressing his solidarity, so we're sort of observing.
A sort of sitting in on the sit-in?
Sort of. But they're remarkable young people, all standing up for what they believe in. All sitting down in this instance. It's really opened my eyes.
I could imagine.
I mean, I never even knew there was a Sussex University.
Quite.
But I'm here now, and I will be sitting in fellowship with my comrades for as long as it takes for the system to be smashed.
Ian, you will still be able to make it to my recording tomorrow, won't you?
Oh, I should have thought so. I'm sure these things fizzle out after a couple of hours.
Oh, that is a relief. I feel completely out of my...
depth?
I was about to use the words comfort zone and trying to think of any possible way to avoid it. This whole business of being funny only gets more and more mysterious.
I'll see you at the studio tomorrow. In the meantime, I'd better go and rejoin the revolution. Take care.
The following morning, I left Anthony in further crisis talks with an unusually recalcitrant Mr. Mullaney, his attitude to Anthony's newly purchased property hardening like the irresistibly tappable surface of a creme brulee, and set off for the I Beg Your Pardon recording. Upon my arrival at the imposing breeze block monstrosity that is North London Studios, I was shown to the, in this case aptly named, Green Room, and introduced to my fellow panellists. The comedians Jack Thomas and Claire Laxwell, the impressionist, Henry McTamney, a woman called Monica Wells, who I was told by the researcher was a TV personality, in a tone that implied the term had some innate meaning, and the newsreader Evan Davis, who gratifyingly looked as perplexed to have been invited as I was. Feeling as nervous as I have ever felt outside of air travel and fate openings, I excused myself from the babble of inane chatter and self-aggrandising statements that passes for small talk at such moments, and attempted to find out just how far away Ian was.
Damo, how goes it all?
Ian, I think I've made a terrible mistake. I'm not sure anything I've thought of is remotely funny. They all seem so confident, and for some unknown reason, Evan Davis is here.
Damo, you're going to have to speak up. I can't hear you over the noise from upstairs.
Upstairs? What do you mean upstairs? Are you not on your way to the North London Studios?
I'm very close at hand, Damo. Practically on the doorstep.
Where are you?
Sydenham.
Sydenham? Why are you in Sydenham?
Only reason anyone's ever in Sydenham. Not by choice.
Ian, what is going on?
Joe's had a very busy couple of days, Damo. All work and no play, etc. So he asked if I wouldn't mind making a brief detour on the way to the studios so that he could take part in a quick orgy.
An orgy? What do you mean, an orgy?
A celebration of carnality, a sexual bacchanal.
So, by the words an orgy, you literally mean an orgy?
Well, that's why I said an orgy.
I see.
Apparently they're all the rage in Joe's circle. Terribly refreshing when you're run down, he says.
I can only imagine.
Sort of like a spa day.
Ian, you're not taking part in this thing, are you?
No, Damo, absolutely not. No. I'm downstairs in the kitchen. I expect it could all get quite exhausting, so I thought I'd make myself useful and be on hand in case anyone wants a coffee.
Sensible.
Even if I had wanted to join in, which, as I've already pointed out, I didn't, it wouldn't have been possible. There's 13 of us here, you see, and you can't have odd numbers at an orgy.
Right. Why is that?
I don't know. That's what they told me. 12's an orgy, 13's a crowd.
Ian, what about my panel show? We're due to start recording in an hour. I really need you here.
Relax, Damo. The limo driver's going to bring me over as soon as he's finished.
Finished? Oh.
Yes, he's upstairs.
Ian, how long are you going to be?
Ooh, hard to say, Damo. The stamina of these youngsters is endlessly surprising, but I'm sure I will be there by the time the cameras start rolling. Speak soon.
How extraordinarily vexing.
Sandwich.
Oh, thank you. Yes, brie and, something pink. Beetroot, perhaps?
I think it's fish.
Mm. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Difficult phone call?
yes. My agent, he's been held up at a get-together.
Oh, no. You don't want to be worrying about where your agent is at a time like this. Do you want the rest of that sandwich?
No.
Try this one.
Thank you.
Is this your first time, when I beg your pardon?
What is this?
It's meatballs and tartar sauce.
Oh, dear.
Your agent should be here. I never miss a recording for any of my acts.
Oh, I see. So you are...
Gloria White. I'm an agent with On the Verge Management.
Right.
Do you want the rest of that sandwich?
No. Maybe I could try one of these. Third time lucky.
I wouldn't.
No?
No.
I'm grateful for the warning. Gloria, I confess to being... trifle green about the whole panel show experience. Have you got any advice?
Oh, not for me to say, Damien. My golden rule is never to interfere with someone else's act.
Of course.
Listen, don't worry. You'll be wonderful out there. You've got wit. You've got natural charisma. The complete package. Any agent would be proud to have you on their books.
That's very nice of you to say. Well, I'll tell Ian. He'll be thrilled.
No, don't tell Ian.
Right. I was still trying to fathom the meaning of Gloria's perhaps unnecessarily cryptic benediction when a black-clad headset-sporting underling appeared to usher us to the metaphorical scaffold that was the set of I Beg Your Pardon. For some reason, presumably stemming from one of those lengthy meetings where a ridiculous suggestion is made towards the end of the fourth hour and acceded to purely out of exhaustion, the I Beg Your Pardon set was modelled on a gigantic gaping mouth. We panellists were expected to sit on benches straddling the tongue, while images from the week's news were projected onto the teeth. It was every inch like one of Dante's visions of hell. Thrown as I was by this horrifying spectacle, I was even more shocked to discover that there were no desks for the panellists to sit behind and, consequently, nowhere to place my sheaf of carefully pre-written jeux d'esprit. I was reduced to clutching my notes between my ankles out of shot, hoping that I could squint down and make out the occasional witticisms required. The intensity of the studio lights, allied to my own feelings of insecurity, seemed almost instantaneously to induce a failure in my homeostatic mechanisms, and I found myself perspiring so heavily that it felt like my entire body was weeping. Nevertheless, I tried to laugh gamely along with the patter of the host, Gavin Calthorpe, whose own excessive laughter seemed to bear no relation to the hilarity of what was unfolding in front of him, and who used the phrase "great bants, guys" so frequently one began to wonder if it was a mantra he employed to ward off an imminent panic attack.
Two points to Jack's team. Great bants, guys. The next question is for Damien Trench, the man who puts the cock into Coco Van.
A little unnecessary.
I went round to Damien's the other day. I said, Damien, have you got anything I can get my teeth into? He said, no, the au pair's out.
None of that is true.
Damien, a question for you. Who said this week, I found the whole thing very difficult to swallow?
Yes. Certainly a phrase that sticks in the memory.
Damien, we're going to have to hurry you.
Look, I'm sorry, I've lost my train of thought. Oh, I can't see my notes, they're right down by my ankles.
Damien, final answer. Who said, I found the whole thing very difficult to swallow?
Heston Blumenthal? Because he's always cooking those elaborate recipes that are presumably, on occasion, very difficult, one would have thought, I suppose, to swallow. Oh, God. I don't know if I blacked out at that point or I merely slipped into a trance, but I can remember nothing about the rest of the recording, and the next thing I knew, I was standing there in the green room, Gloria White circling me, as one might a wounded deer.
Damien! Oh, wow! I mean, that was... really unexpected.
I don't know what happened. I think it was the heat.
You certainly made an impact.
Well, everyone else was so funny. I just couldn't keep up.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine in the edit. The public never really notices these things.
I mean, who knew that Evan Davis was such a live wire? That man is wasted on Newsnight. Now, look, did Ian turn up?
I don't normally say things like this, but from what I've seen today, you deserve more support than Ian's giving you.
Well, perhaps here, I do.
Take my card. Put it in your pocket. Don't think about it. But if you feel like giving me a call in the next few days, I'm here to listen.
Saturday, March the 26th.
It's important not to get too downhearted.
I'm going to lose everything, Anthony. My series, my reputation. I should never have tried to be amusing in public.
Yes, I was actually talking to Mr. Mullaney, Damien, about the house.
Oh, I do apologise. Feel free to respond to Anthony, Mr. Mullaney.
I said all I need to say to Anthony, Mr. Trench. He knows where I stand.
I don't like to see the two of you like this.
Yeah, well, here we are.
This is a great opportunity for us. That house is a blank canvas.
It's a canvas that's a blow away given one strong gust of wind. That's the kind of canvas it is.
Yeah, I really think you should be more open-minded.
Oh, I'm closed-minded now, am I?
I'm just saying you could afford to be a little more ambitious.
Oh, now I'm closed-minded and unambitious. Well, thank you. It's good to know what people really think of you.
You're not leaving, are you, Mr. Mullaney?
I'm sorry, Mr. Trench.
I've got a frangipani tart in the oven.
Oh, lovely.
You're not having any frangipani tart, Anthony, unless you apologise to Mr. Mullaney.
I don't need to hear any empty words, Mr. Trench. I'll see myself out.
Well, Anthony, this time you really have excelled yourself. What are we going to do now?
Oh, stop dithering, Damien. Everything's going to be fine.
Fine? I am going to make a fool of myself on television and, as a result, lose my street food series. We're stuck with a property we can seemingly do nothing with, which means we've got a wedding we can't afford to pay for. And you have abused the friendship of an, in my view, unimpeachable builder. Anything I missed?
Oh, look. It's starting to rain.
I retreated to my study and sat in total silence for 45 agonising, leaden minutes. I simply couldn't set my mind to anything the least bit creative, and instead spent my time deleting online invitations people had sent me for something called LinkedIn. What was the point of it all, I thought? Of life, that is. But also, I suppose, of LinkedIn, too.
Damien Trench speaking.
Damo, it's Ian. How did the panel show go?
It went ungraced by your presence, Ian.
Damo, what can I offer but 1,000 mea culpas? By the time a limo driver had had his fill of the orgy, he was in no fit state to get behind the wheel.
Really?
Amazing how these things take it out of you.
No doubt.
Anyway, I am back in action and at your beck and call, just as soon as Joe and I get back from Necker Island.
You're on Necker Island?
Only for the briefest of environmental summits, trying to find more sustainable ways to live our lives.
How did you get there?
Helicopter.
Well, I expect I'll maybe see you when you get back.
Looking forward to it, Damo.
Well, we've got plenty to discuss.
Have we?
I met a lady named Gloria White.
Gloria? Oh, my God! Don't go anywhere, Damien.
And so my day of judgment on I Beg Your Pardon had come. I felt sick at the thought of whatever lay in store for me. I suddenly started to see myself as a modern-day Howard Hughes, incarcerated in my house for the rest of my life, unable to face the public, with Anthony having to clip my fingernails and begging me to do something about all the milk bottles.
Hello, Mr. Mullaney.
Damien, it's Ivan, producer from I Beg Your Pardon. How are you?
Fine. Yes, look, I'm so sorry about the recording.
We wanted to check your availability for the 19th. It'd be great to have you back on.
Really? Didn't it go sort of badly?
Horrendous. I've just been watching the edit. You're flapping around like an otter caught in a fishing net. It's hilarious. Best thing we've had all series.
All right, so I'm a sort of figure of fun.
Absolutely. If there's one thing the British public loves, it's an absolute wazzock. Some of the girls in the office say you could be the next Boris Johnson. What do you think of that?
It's the kind of statement that's almost impossible to respond to.
So, can you make the 19th?
I don't know. We ought to be discussing this with my agent.
No worries, mate. But who is your agent, by the way?
I don't know.
The next question is for Damien Trench, the man who puts the cock into Coco Van.
That's very good.
Oh, for goodness sake, Anthony.
Damien, a question for you. Who said this week I found the whole thing very difficult to swallow?
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Oh, I can't see my notes, they're down by my ankles.
Yeah, this is really good. You're very funny, you know, in a sort of hapless,
dithering way.
Charming.
Oh, this is cheering me right up. Oh, I'll pause it.
Must you? Coming!
Damo!
Ian, what are you doing here? I thought you were on Necker Island.
Necker Schmecker, Damo. You don't think I'd miss this chance to see my boy's moment of panel show glory, do you?
Well,
this is what the agent-client relationship is all about. Loyalty.
Come in, Ian. What about Joe Cassidy?
I told Joe Cassidy I needed him to put down his sitar and charter me a jet to London because I have other high-priority clients, and I told him, if you don't like that, maybe you should be in business with Gloria White or one of those other awful people who are only in it for themselves.
Very good.
I'd like to see Gloria White at an orgy. Oh, no, hold on, that came out wrong. Oh, maybe it didn't. Oh, Anthony, hello.
Hello, Ian.
Let's get this programme back on. I can hardly wait.
Damien, final answer. Who said, I found the whole thing very difficult to swallow?
Heston Blumenthal? Because he's always cooking those elaborate recipes that are presumably, on occasion, very difficult. What one would have thought, I suppose, to swallow.
I can remember it going quite that well.
Well, that's the end of the show.
Oh.
And we can see that this week's great dictators are Jack, Monica and Evan. And this week's baked potatoes are Claire, Harry and Damien.
Means absolutely nothing.
That's it from us. Until next time, I beg your pardon.
Very good, Damien. Yeah, very well done.
Never again. I think we can all get on quite happily without accepting the blandishments of trash TV.
Have a property that badly needs a complete reconstruction? If so, you might want to get in contact with our new show, Extreme House Hospital. Call the number on the screen to find out more.
Listen, if you two don't need me for anything urgent, I might just make the briefest of phone calls. Oh.
In and Out of the Kitchen, the panel show, was created by and starred Miles Jupp, with Justin Edwards, Philip Fox, Brendan Dempsey, Jessica Turner, Alex Tregear, Mark Edelhunt, David Acton and Stephen Critchlow. It was written by James Kettle. The producer was Sam Michel, and it was a BBC Radio comedy production.